Hello. GM, hello. Hello, GM.
Hello,
All right.
hello. Can you hear me
Yeah,
all
I hear
right?
you. So we are in Slack. We are casting to Sanko, and we are simulcasting to Spaces. This has to be some kind of like world record for like the most amount of like outputs that is not like a master video control unit at like a broadcast.
Yeah. And so keep yourself unmuted on the huddle.
Right, I'm unmuted on the huddle because
There we go.
it's going to send a
Because
separate
Sanko will
video
not be able to
feed
hear.
to video and audio to Sanko, which is totally separate from the audio being sent via my phone to Spaces.
Yes. Okay, so I'm just going to be
So
sharing
just
this. I'm going to
FYI,
share to
I'm looking
Eric.
at the Chaincraft stream on Sanko, and it's super choppy.
Yeah, I think that's the best I could do for right now. It's our first go. I want to do more of these. Love to integrate the Sanko platform.
Where do you think the choppiness
Let's
is?
see.
Where is the choke point that's happening? Is it on your machine? Is it on the Senko platform side? What do you think it is?
I really think it's on my OBS. Like I just had to reinstall it, because of
Oh, okay.
it was glitching on the recent update, and I have not tweaked anything.
Oh wait, it's less choppy now, I think. A little bit.
Oh, cool. Okay. Maybe I just need to sit still and not move anything, like it's a antenna or
It seems
something, or TV antenna.
less choppy.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Eric, I sent him. I don't know if he's going to get on the Spaces or not, if he's got
He would
Twitter or
definitely would
not.
need to, right? In order to engage.
Yeah, if he pretty much. I'm going to go ahead and also retweet the space, because it's just you and me right
Yes.
now. But this is being recorded, so anybody can listen to this later. I will retweet the space. Okay, we're getting people coming in. And again, this is just going to be like something that will live as our first chat about who we are and what we're doing. Yeah, just reposting, retweeting the space. I'm going to share it with the Sanko peeps. But yeah, we are the team behind Chaincraft. We are building something we're pretty excited about, and we are going to chat about it here in a bit. And again, if anybody's here, you can go to our, we made a Sanko profile, sanko.tv/chaincraftgames, where you can also see us live and doxed and such. Yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and start. My name is Ryan Beltran, or Triggerytron, and I actually run a nonprofit, makewater.org, and have had a background in sort of the blockchain space. I don't know, maybe 5 years now, just from barely dabbling into it to really diving in and pretty much paying attention to it every day. The ups and downs. And we got here Matt and Eric, who are the complements of what I believe is a pretty great team with different backgrounds that kind of add to this whole space. Oh, you're playing God, what's that called again?
Balatro.
And I downloaded it just like I do many games and have not touched it or installed it, but I do want to check it out. Yeah, Matt, tell us a bit about yourself. And I think we're also still waiting for Eric to see if he can make it on the Twitter space.
Yeah, about myself is I am currently helping Eric get on the Twitter space. That's me.
Okay.
No, I mean,
if you troubleshoot,
big background in metaverse games, emerging tech. Everything I've done has been in some way facilitating creators, builders in some way or another. Mm-hmm. So now, obviously, AI is like what blockchain was a year ago, what NFTs was a year before that. And everybody's mm-hmm. flocking to do anything and anything that has the word AI on it. I'm on the board of South by Southwest, and we get hundreds of maybe thousands of submissions every year. And you could already see the sort of uptick. I get a good sort of pulse of the technology industry in general, like overall, by the prevalence of buzzwords in the talk submissions and panel submissions. And this last year, even for the 2024 version, it was like AI was everywhere. Any talks that had the word AI in them were the ones that had likelihood to having a queue. So we are actively trying to validate a product thesis that is practical, like a practical use of AI as an accelerant for creativity for developers, to solve a number of problems, largely around risk aversion and the inability to iterate on novel concepts, which is the lifeblood of the evolution of the games industry and new genres being born and all sorts of ecosystem stuff. And we are trying to accelerate that using LLMs and create a scenario where creators of games, whether they launch or not, can still monetize and get value out of their creations by having them on chain and listed in a marketplace that can be reused, remixed, also with the same AI accelerant. So that's my background, and that's what we're trying to do.
Awesome. I don't know if Eric is trying to get on yet or not. Not long ago, I mean, I've been a big fan of Sanko and the Sanko TV, Sanko Game Corp. And through them, I learned a lot about Arbitrum. And recently, with their sort of big initiative to focus on gaming, I kind of reached out to Matt, a longtime friend of mine, knew he was in the gaming space. And I thought this might be an opportunity to collaborate on a project or idea, possibly in the Arbitrum ecosystem. And so that sort of was the first inklings of how we started to get together and work on this. The general idea is sort of this Canva for gaming, this idea that we can actually get an AI suite of AI crew to actually help you build a game for somebody who's actually as for those indie devs, as well as somebody who is maybe a parent or an educator or teacher who wants to come in and make something that can actually be shared or useful or fun. And that's sort of the inkling, the starting point of what we are building. I don't know if Matt wants to go a little bit further into that.
No, I mean, I'm kind of curious about who else is in here on the Sanko side and on the Spaces side, like some of the
we have
what people are interested in, really, more than anything.
Hunter's in. I think we're hey, still. Hunter. I tried to fix the echo. I hope it's.
Just did a test, and I didn't hear any echo on your side.
Okay, on Sanko.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's. I think this conversation is mostly like, you know, what are we seeing in the space? What are the like touch points for like solving problems for developers, like particularly with blockchain tech? You know, that but even before the AI stuff is like, it's interesting because it's like AI is going to be, and when we say AI, it's like almost like we should really be calling them language models because it's like the level of quote unquote intelligence in some of these in these platforms and algorithms is really historical. It's a historical index of probability, right? Like it's like, and I'm not a developer, but you know, from my understanding and having played with them and having kind of pushed at the boundaries of what's possible, which is really what I think that's my skill set as like a product person, is like whether or not I understand the like the very specific technicalities of how a piece of software or protocol or whatever works. I'm pretty good about like pushing at the edges of it and just seeing like where the boundaries tend to be, particularly when it comes to applicability, like wideband, which is what I really care about, is like, how can this apply to like a large amount of people or a large amount of like spending power or outsized influence or whatever it is. So the AI side is like, it's really tricky because it's very frothy right now. Frothy is dangerous because everybody and their mother will come in and just try and like, you know, game the system or like pump their bag or whatever it is. So the AI side is interesting because it's like, it's good at very specific things, and it's really, really not good at, and often dangerously hallucinatory when it comes to other things. So it's like, you have to like, kind of like watch it. It's like a little helpful little elf that is also mischievous. And the next thing if you turn around and you're not watching it for 30 seconds, suddenly like all of your brooms and buckets are like dancing around the house Fantasia style and just like destroying your house. So like, I think the people that are gonna be seen as the winners when it comes to like quote unquote this like AI revolution are the ones that understand where the boundaries of that technology are, create sort of like focused solutions that are like trying to focus on like a specific thing, like solving hopefully one problem. That would be great if everybody was not trying to boil the ocean and instead was trying to like focus on a thing, creating a good expectation management with users, being like, hey, this is like at every level, we're going to keep communicating to you at the UX level, all the way up to like the communication level. And the way we're marketing and framing this is like, this thing is very good at helping accelerate your existing creativity. And there's a hard stop where it becomes not just less useful, but actually like counterproductive. And I think that's something that we're internalizing. I know Eric, as our CTO, is like, you know, really focused on ensuring that we're taking a practical approach to it. And we've done that with all the products we've made before. So it's almost like AI is a foregone conclusion because we're going to use it for the pieces that it's good at to solve the problem of this cold start problem of like, I don't even know where to start, right? That's the AI solvable problem. On the blockchain side, which I think is a little bit juicier actually, is like, as somebody who comes from like, I have like 19 years, right? I just calculated and I feel old, but I have like 19 years. My first startup, I was like 20. First startup was called Metaversatility. And it's like, since then I've been like encountering developers. I've run platforms, I've sold platforms that are for making MMOs, for making games, for making, you know, like all the way to like SaaS collaborative B2B metaverse, experiences for like big Fortune 100 companies. But it's always about like, how do you solve the problem of, I don't know, like how to build this and I don't know how to own this. And that's a pain point that I've seen. I guess I've just seen it my whole career, is like developers. And if you just focus on like indie devs as like a great example of all of these things, developers have this problem of like, I have limited resources. I have limited time. I'm probably working a different job at the same time, probably doing this like as a side hustle, if I'm not privileged enough to like kind of like come out of college debtless and all that stuff. And it's like, I only have X amount of shots on goal in my 20s, you know, while I can survive off ramen, before I just can't anymore, right? You run out of gas. And I've seen this happen a bunch. And it's about that sort of shots on goal. And there's two things that happen there. One thing is, you're moving super fast, so you just make all sorts of concessions. You sign whatever NDAs, you're just signing whatever, because your goal is to just make your, you know, realize your vision. So on the path to that, you like make all these concessions and you look back and like, oh crap, I just like set myself up for like not the greatest success. And one of the things that comes in there is that like, on that path toward ideation and iteration, you sign yourself into walled gardens with organizations that will help you realize the first versions of that dream. But ultimately, and I can say this from experience because I sold a company whose business model was based off of rev share with indie developers, you end up agreeing to somebody else essentially owning a lot of the value, if not outright the sort of like rights to your IP, that's a separate consideration, but owning a lot of like the value that you're generating, like the, and that value is expressed in many ways. It's not just money. So the blockchain side of it is like super interesting to me because it's like, if from the very beginning, we can create this solution that both accelerates your creativity and lets you iterate quickly and cheaply. But when you iterate and produce those things, they immediately get, they go on chain or they're like Web 2.5 lazy minted and can be mintable, whatever it is that's the adequate solution there. It's like you've already set yourself up from the beginning to own and leverage and extract the most amount of value out of your time and energy and love investment that you've put into it. And it's not just like the game, it's not just like all or nothing, right? Right now it's like, as an indie developer, it's an all or nothing scenario. It's either you win because you've shipped something, you've got a decent publishing deal, you've executed a series of miracles, like a stack of miracles, and then hopefully it hits and you can move on to the next thing and or grow it or whatever your thing is. But that, honestly speaking, statistically is like, it's a stack of miracles. It's an exception. It's the exception, not the rule. So 9 out of 10 games don't ever make it to that point. So what happens to the developer? They've put their shot on goal. They've spent 2 years working on something. How do they carry on to the next thing, carrying the value of what they've invested beyond just the knowledge and the learnings, which is hugely invaluable, but you can't eat knowledge and earnings, right? So, or not knowledge and learnings. So what if that 2 years of development was done on a platform where all the key mechanical components and innovations that you've created, a lot of the assets that you've created are on chain and are maybe somebody else who is working on their own product, sees the value of those assets, sees the value of those mechanical components, and does what any good game developer does, is, you know, build something that is 90% familiar, 10% innovation, and uses that as their innovation piece. Maybe that other developer's home that they're creating for that component is a more appropriate home, and that component can thrive and can be part of something that does hit and is a success. That original developer who created that component, because they put it on chain immediately, because it was available on the marketplace, and because it's part of this super accelerant of creativity using LLMs, that person can now extract more than knowledge and learnings out of their 2 years of love and time and sweat equity that they put into it. They can actually make money off of it, which allows them to turn it into an actual career and business. So that's what excites me about the blockchain part of it, really, is the ability to say like, no, you're not just going to have to like leave that in the dust. That can live on, and that can be part of a community that's trying to innovate, not just you in a vacuum.
I totally resonate. This is Eric Wood. I'm the tech side of this trio, and you know, I totally resonate with all of that. I mean, I love working on games. I love creating games. You know, I've got a game I've been working on for 10 years, and you know, the problem is it's just such a time investment, and you know, I get busy doing other things. I put it down, I pick it back up later, I come back to it, and technology's changed, and I forget what I was doing, and you know, so I think that there's a lot of people that could be making a lot of great games that aren't because of, you know, of that. And I know for me, you know, I'm skilled at the development side, you know, the programming side, but I'm not, you know, a 3D artist or a 2D artist or anything like that. And so, you know, even when I'm making a game, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, you know, I have like blocky placeholder assets, and I'm like, how am I ever going to move past blocky placeholder assets? So it just becomes really discouraging. You know, and I have this vision for when I am working, you know, in my code editor using Copilot, it's a very collaborative experience. You know, I'm asking the AI a question, it's suggesting something, I'm asking it, you know, I'm modifying that. We're going back and forth, and we're really kind of having this collaborative session. And I think that's how our interactions with AI need to be. I think this idea that, you know, you go and you ask AI to create something and it just goes off and creates something, you know, that's really just not the way this should work. And I think that, so I have this vision for being able to have a conversation or a dialogue with an AI about the game I want to create. And it's, you know, it's thinking of things I haven't thought of. It's making me aware of things that I don't know. It's helping me out with, you know, creation of assets and art and things that I can't do, you know, and it's really an assistant to me. But to me, the compelling story of all this is that game that I've been sitting on for 10 years that I really want to make, that I haven't been able to because of all the reasons Matt's mentioned, you know, now I can do it. So to me, that's the really compelling thing. And I think that the intersection of AI technology and immersive technology and blockchains has brought us to this pivotal moment where this kind of thing is now possible. And that's really exciting to me.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. What I also like about this is, in some of our earliest conversations, we just kept like scaling it down and whittling down, like what would be the first like wonderful entry point to build out and test this idea that we have. And Eric, I think it was your idea to kind of start with a beachhead of like collectible card games or tradable card games, because there's actually a lot you could do with that. The market's actually really large. The assets, the board, the things that kind of are involved to create a card game are less intense as like a 2D, 3D game. And I love card games too. Like, so it's one of those things that I'm excited to start in that realm where, you know, I'm imagining like again, like a Canva for creating a game. Like there's some people who will be more advanced game makers or indie devs, but then there's like the somebody who just wants to try it out and tinker and like do it more casually, and being able to have that flexibility, so I could come in and chat with this AI that kind of guides you through what kind of game do you want to make, is this, what's the age range, you know, something like that, and then it can come out with something that you can play right then and there. You can tinker, you could tweak, you could share. And I think the community is going to be a big part of this too. Components of this, and we have the idea of having that be open source, but having the community come in and really start tinkering with it, I'm excited for that, to see what sort of things they remix, share, build. Somebody could focus on just art assets. Maybe they mint that and share that. Somebody could focus on the actual gameplay or the mechanics. And then that actually also gets very interesting. It's like, what kind of mechanics can we make and break and like try out? Because you can just, with this AI suite idea that we have, you can really try them out really fast. It won't take you a really long time to get to the point where you finally get to test out a mechanic and it's broken, or like it's going to require a lot of engineering to make it work, or you have to scrap it all together. Yeah,
that's right. And you hit on a really good point about kind of the evolutionary nature of this that I want to touch on for a minute. And that is that, you know, the language of creating games is not just code, right? So you can't just have an AI that knows how to go out, create some images, create some code, create some narrative. You know, the sum of all those parts does not make for a compelling game. So we have to teach AIs the language of creating games. And so a great way to do that is to basically kind of start simple and build on that and work our way up. You know, AIs are not going to be able to innovate. They're not going to be able to come up with new ideas that nobody has ever thought of. They're inherently trained on things that people have thought of. So what we want to do is we want to, use the community to sort of identify what are the key components of gameplay, what are the different kinds of gameplay, and then teach the AI how to synthesize and put those together in novel ways in order to create compelling gameplay. And so the reason why we're starting with collectible card games is because we can kind of narrow in the scope of the game mechanics. We don't have to worry about, you know, trying to generate entire levels or things like that. We can start simple. We can get the basics down, and then we can expand that. But we believe that the fundamental approach is going to translate to more complex forms of tabletop games and eventually into, you know, digital games.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, it's like, this is the beginning of what we're doing. This is our first session and chat with the community. We want this to start to grow from here on out. We want to do possibly more of these calls. We like integrating with Sanko. So I don't know if anybody has anything else to add. I just kind of wanted this to be our very first space to let y'all know who we are. Because we're here and we're really excited to grow this project and start to get the word out. So like literally, this is the first earliest y'all here listening to this are really early on this. And there's a lot that we're going to be sort of adjusting and moving and asking for feedback from y'all. So feel free to reach out if you're more curious about this project, because we're going to be developing it and listening to the community as we do. I'm excited about it. I thank y'all for joining us today. Anything else to add, Matt?
Only that everybody should go out and play Balatro, which is owning and destroying and enriching my life. Go play Balatro. Play Balatro. We're not working on Balatro. That's not our product. It's just it's a brilliant game. Hugely inspirational.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out too. All right, thank y'all. Thank y'all for joining. This was a great testing of this multi-platform setup. Our boosts kept running out on Sanko, so this is a great way to kind of learn how to do the next one. All right, take care, everybody. See y'all.